during a previous crisis in the church, and those crises seem to come with some regularity, I asked my mother why she was a Catholic. And she answered immediately, Holy Communion. And I could relate to that because when I think about my own spirituality, it is centered around the Eucharist. I don't know if it's for you as well. Receiving Holy Communion makes me feel that Jesus is very close. I can feel his intimate presence right in my very being. Receiving communion is strength for the journey, so that like Elijah, we can walk on the strength of that food right to the mountain of God. Receiving communion is medicine to heal the sin-sick soul, as Pope Francis reminded us. Communion is not a reward for being good, but the dose that we need in order to make it through what ails us. Communion is that which enables us, when we gather around the table, to receive the body of Christ in order to become the body of Christ. Communion is that foretaste of the heavenly banqueting table. The poets call it the bread of angels, the panis angelicus, to remind us that this great gift is the foretaste of glory. So we have all these different aspects of what receiving communion is like. But St. Paul today adds to that list a particular aspect of the Holy Eucharist when he says, whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. So there's something about receiving communion which connects us very immediately with the death of the Lord. And of course, that goes back to the very experience of Jesus. If we remember, it was on the day before he died when Jesus broke the bread as an image of his own body broken on the cross. It was the day before he died when Jesus blessed the cup which was his blood of the covenant, as he put it. The blood of the covenant then, which serves as a reminder of that Passover moment when the blood of the lamb spread over the doorpost saved God's people from death. And so right in the very institution of the Eucharist, we find that the sacrifice of the cross is intimately connected. So when we're thinking then about what we do here when we celebrate the Eucharist, it's something of a repast. You know, a repast, as the dictionary tells us, is when a people gather after the death of a loved one in order to share their sense of grief at the loss. And so we are at a moment of grieving here when we celebrate the Eucharist. Grieving as the apostles experienced it, that he was not here. But even though he was not gone. What St. Paul, I think, wanted us to understand in this image that he gave us is that even when the loved one dies, the love does not die. And we then are a people who learn to trust in the providence of God, even in the midst of our loss and in our grief. So this is a powerful experience that we have as a Eucharistic people, this connection with the death of Jesus. So all these images about what the Eucharist means, what Holy Communion means, what it means to be Corpus Christi. We have the intimate connection with Jesus, the way bread for the journey, the divine medicine. We've got the formation of the body of Christ. We've got the foretaste of heaven, the bread of angels. We have this personal connection with the cross and this hope of glory. But we have to be careful, I think, not to limit our receiving of Holy Communion to a me and Jesus moment, to some kind of personal possession. And that's, I think, why the church gives us the gospel that we have today from St. Luke, where the disciples are there and they have this big crowd and they don't know what to do with them. And so they say to Jesus, well, send them away to the villages and towns so they can take care of themselves. And Jesus says to them, well, you give them something to eat. And they seem to be taken aback by that because where were they going to get groceries for 5,000 people? They were going to need a really big cart if they were going to do that. But Jesus was not interested in groceries. What Jesus was interested in was their willingness to give what they thought was a little bit. 5 loaves and 2 fish, what good is that? It's just a little bit. But Jesus said, if you're willing to give that little bit, God can take care of the rest. So perhaps that's an essential aspect of the Eucharist as well. It's not just about our own spiritual nourishment, but about our willingness to nourish others. In St. John's Gospel, where we would expect this scene of Jesus breaking the bread and sharing the cup, it doesn't exist at all. Instead, in St. John's Gospel, we have the story of the washing of the feet. And it's almost as if the fourth evangelist wants us to understand that we can't get what the Eucharist is all about unless we live in loving service. If I, who am your master and Lord, have washed your feet, you must wash one another's feet. And so this then is also an essential part of our Eucharistic spirituality, our desire to live as a people worthy of the sacrament, this willingness to serve. Mahatma Gandhi once said, there are so many hungry people in the world that if God does come to them, he comes in the form of bread. And that's what we believe. God has come in the form of bread for us. And we then must share that with others. If you have a little bit of time, maybe you can give it away by visiting the sick or the homebound and see what God can do with that. If you have a little bit of patience, maybe you can give it away by listening to someone who's lost or alone. See what God can do with that. If you have a little bit of peace, you can give it away and see what God can do to break the cycle of violence. If you have a little bit of wisdom, maybe you can give it away to a young person to help them on their own journey and see what God can do with that. Today we celebrate the gift of the Eucharist, and I'm always reminded of the words of the great African bishop, St. Augustine, who said, when he would lift up the sacrament, behold who you are, become who you receive. Amen.